Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Winner's Circle. I'm Derek.
And I'm Cody.
And if you're here, then you probably already know we're separating our episodes now. Survivor, if you want to see the recap, you got to go to our previous episode. Just go on whatever podcast platform you're on. You'll find it. Or if you're on YouTube, previous video, you'll have it right there for you. We're separating it now where Survivor will be its own thing. And the three topics of the week will be its own thing, which is what this episode is. Yep. And we got some good topics for you tonight. Some are a little bit more deep. Some are a little bit more serious. And then we're going to end on a little bit of a lighter note. We always try to do that because we don't want to have you leaving these episodes feeling depressed and angry. They're important topics to cover, but I think we can do it in a way where we talk about it as a community. And then we move on to some lighter things to kind of round out the evening or day whenever you're watching this.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is going to bring us to our first article. Our first article is in the Athletic field.
Yeah.
This was a huge shock. Crazy event happened. And it was with a Raiders wide receiver named Henry Ruggs III, who's only in his second year in the NFL.
So yeah, Henry Ruggs, he played for Alabama. Great wide receiver. One of the better wide receivers for the Raiders right now. Potential to be one of the better wide receivers in the league at some point. I mean, he was incredibly fast, incredibly talented. Already had his own sneaker line coming out with Adidas, like really doing well. Nothing but
first round draft pick.
I mean, this guy had the possibilities were endless for him.
Yes.
How old was he? 22 years old?
22 years old.
Man.
So I'll read this right here. This is the headline, yes. Guys.
You for
guys
anybody who doesn't know it.
Raiders Henry Ruggs III booked faces 20 years in prison after deadly DUI crash.
Yep.
So to sum it up really quickly, Henry Ruggs was out in Las Vegas, was apparently out of Top Golf and left with his girlfriend and was, you know, intoxicated, got in the car, was driving and drove at 154 miles an hour into the back of a 23-year-old woman's RAV4.
Yep.
And he broke, I guess, because then it said the impact, the airbags were deployed at 127 miles an hour, which it's crazy that I'm even like hitting these specific miles per hour that he was going. But think about it. 154, slammed down his brakes to go 127, smashed into a RAV4. The RAV4 immediately went up in flames.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is the woman that was in the car, she is deceased. She's pronounced dead at the second the cops got to the scene. And Henry Ruggs is now facing up to 20 years in prison.
Yeah, he's got some problems. He's got some major problems. So first off, he's driving a Chevy Corvette. As you guys know, one of the newer Corvettes, super fast car. And they have an onboard computer, guys. So, you know, you might think there's no way of tracking this. There's like a black box in all of these newer vehicles where they can tell your top speed. They can obviously use measurements at the crime scene through accident reconstruction to determine exactly how fast you were going. And my guess is he was going 154. He sees the car late because he's intoxicated, and we'll get to that. He slams on his brake, but even by slamming on his brake, he only slows down to a buck 27 when impact occurs. And again, the computers can tell what speed you were going when those airbags were initiated, when they went off. And so 127 miles per hour into the rear of a vehicle, even if you're anticipating it, not much that you're going to be able to do to save you in that situation. And I also, not that this is the main thing here is a 23-year-old woman had her whole life ahead of her, has now lost her life. There was also a dog that was killed, and I believe it was in the car with her. I believe it was her dog. And the real thing that pisses me off here, not only the fact that he was going that fast, but as you mentioned, he was at a Topgolf. And when they did his blood alcohol level, I don't know if they did it through a blood draw or he decided to blow into a breathalyzer. I'm assuming it was the first one where when he was transported to the hospital, they drew his blood. Mm-hmm. He blew a 0.161. Do I have that correct, Cody? I want to make sure.
You are correct.
0.161. The legal limit is 0.08. So anything above 0.08 in the state of Nevada is illegal. So if you're 0.09, you're over the limit. You can be arrested for DUI. He was essentially two times over the legal limit and going 154 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, reckless is an understatement.
Yeah. And I also think that he was driving 154 miles an hour and he hit into her rear end, which means that couple things are happening. You could be going 120. Like, obviously, I've never, ever gone that fast. Not even close. Not even in, I don't know who goes that fast.
No, it's not. But he
obviously wasn't even looking at the road. So
even if
he
was
at
that speed,
154. I mean, it's not like she was turning. It's like literally he just smashed into the back of her car. So he's obviously driving home with his girlfriend, just being extremely reckless and it's so unfortunate. So I have a couple takes on this. It's so unfortunate that a 22-year-old's life is now going to be. A 23-year-old's life is now taken away, and there's no knowing what she could have done with her life.
Nope.
On top of that, you have a 22-year-old now who was in athletics, promising, making a ton of money, who now probably has no future ahead of him. I mean, maybe he does, but like most likely not.
No, he's done. The Raiders have already released him.
You know, he could bring light to, you know, that mistake that he made. But at the end of the day, he had a very bright future ahead of him. And it's stuff like this that you can't let the money when you're young. It's like these are kids. He's a kid at 22 years old, bro. We were still kids. Like we were still doing stupid shit. Somebody needs to help out with these young kids that are going into the NFL and making millions of dollars so they don't do stupid shit like this.
Yeah, it's I don't get it. And there's a couple things there. First off, there's two charges that I know of. It's the reckless driving, which carries up to a 6-year sentence. But then he has the DUI charge and obviously death resulting. That can be up to 20 years in prison. So even if he gets a reduced sentence, he's not eligible for probation in Las Vegas for it. And so he's got some major issues. As I just said, the Raiders have already released him.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, again, I know these lawyers have a job to do, and I'm awful critical.
I'm
on
highlighting
defense attorneys.
It now because I was waiting for you to touch on it.
Yeah, you know, I hate the fact, and I'll read an exact quote. So this came out almost immediately after. This is from Ruggs' attorney, David Chesnoff and Richard Schoenfield. They told TMZ Sports, on behalf of our client, Henry Ruggs III, we are conducting our own investigation as of this writing and ask everyone to reserve judgment until all facts are gathered. Well, let me tell you guys, your client was going 154 miles an hour, was drinking and driving, and killed a 23-year-old woman. I'm not holding off judgment. And by the way, I don't know if it was illegal or illegal, and in the relevance of what we're dealing with now, it doesn't really matter. But he also was carrying a loaded gun. And I am all for concealed carry, as you guys know. I am not for concealed carry while impaired. That is a crime as well. If you have a loaded gun on your person, even if you have the license to carry, if you are intoxicated, that is a crime. So a lot of mistakes here.
He's in a lot of trouble here.
He's in a lot of trouble. That's I believe it's a felony in Las Vegas, in Nevada. So I don't, you know, I understand what they're doing. They're getting paid to put out a statement. But I respectfully decline your request to reserve judgment until we know more information, because it sounds to me like it's pretty cut and dry. There's no excuse that's going to make me feel differently. Question for you, Cody, because I have seen back and forth on this on Twitter. At the end of the day, playing a professional sport is a privilege, mm-hmm. but it's also a job, right? If mm-hmm. you're good at your job, you get to play. It's not like they're just giving out positions in the NFL because you're a good person.
Very difficult, right?
So he's playing in the NFL not because they're doing him a favor. He's playing there because he's good enough to play.
Right.
So let's just say for example's sake, he's only 22.
Yeah.
Let's say he ends up doing, he gets a 10-year sentence, but he only ends up doing 5 or 6 years because of whatever, you know, sometimes the prison system work. Do you think if he's still good enough and he gets out at maybe 28, 29, which is older, but still, he might still have it. Do you think he should be allowed to play in the NFL? Because there are people who say, listen, the two are not together. If he made a mistake and does his time, mm-hmm. he should still be afforded the opportunity to play in the NFL mm-hmm. if he is good enough.
I think that if they do that to him, then they're going to have to answer a ton of questions if they do not allow him back, because Michael Vick went to prison for like, I think, 7 years.
Yep.
I mean,
and that was
Kareem
for killing
Hunt.
Multiple dogs, you know,
Kareem
killing
Hunt
multiple
beat his significant other is on the Browns.
Yep.
The NFL doesn't do a great job of, you know, like how, yeah, you know what? You mess up, you're out. Guys mess up all the time in the NFL.
It's true.
The Washington football team is still being investigated for like sexual harassment charges, and the owner still owns the Washington football team. But John Gruden's the one that got crucified in that situation and now doesn't have a job. But the owner of the Washington football team gets to still make his millions of dollars while he is being investigated for sexual harassment in his organization.
Yeah, very unsafe work environment.
The NFL and Goodell, which is why Goodell gets booed the way that he does, is because it's just, I don't know.
Well, he also suspended the greatest quarterback of all time. And by the way, it was a complete,
you had to say that.
I don't care, Giants fan, it was robbery. Deflategate, my ass. Okay?
I mean, I don't agree with the Deflategate. I said if Tom Brady whooped your ass that badly and a ball was slightly deflated, you were getting your ass whooped that badly no matter what. Okay? I'm an athlete first. Like, you don't come in here and be like, "Oh, well, your soccer balls weren't pumped up. Oh, we beat you 9-0. You weren't doing anything. Like, just chill with that shit about Tom Brady. Tom Brady
but
is
you're
the
right.
GOAT. I love Tom Brady. Bro, you ain't going to come to me. I ain't a Tom Brady hater. I love
Tom
Brady.
That, I mean, you got a couple Super Bowls because of Tom Brady. So, I mean, yeah, Eli did his thing. Listen, serious note to end this one because, you know, we're making a little light at the end here. But at the end of the day, a young woman lost her life because of the recklessness of Mr. Ruggs. And essentially, Ruggs is going to go to prison for a long time and probably ruined his own life. And it's just a tragedy all the way around you essentially have two lives lost. And not only are those two lives lost, but the families of both parties are also never going to be the same as well.
Correct.
The parents of the victim and also Ruggs's family. I'm sure he had many people that he was taking care of because he now had the ability to do that. And all that is gone. All that is gone. He's no longer an NFL player at this point. Yep. And again, we will qualify it by saying he's innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. But I think it's pretty indisputable as far as what we have right now. It was his car. He was found at the scene. He was in the vehicle. He blew a BAC above the legal limit. He's in trouble. So, we're covering it because we want to tell you guys, again, whether you're a millionaire, a professional athlete, or just a normal person, if you're drinking, don't drive. Because it may not be your life that's taken from it, but it may be someone who's just driving home that night to go see their family. Okay. So do the right thing.
Yeah.
Call an Uber. Call a Lyft. Nobody is above the law. Nobody is Superman or Superwoman and can beat the effects of being inebriated while driving. I've seen it my whole career. So do the right thing. Don't drink and drive. And again, thoughts and prayers with everybody involved because it's a horrific situation.
Yeah, this situation is terrible. I went through something similar to this when I was a freshman and I was going into my sophomore year of college. One of my best friends that I went to high school with, year younger than me, in the car, drunk driver. The driver was drunk, went through a stop sign, hit a house, he passed away. Like, you hear stories like this all the time and it
all
almost is like, it's like people just take it for granted. It's like people take a lot of stuff for granted. I mean, obviously he didn't do it on purpose, but that doesn't justify anything here. I mean, I don't agree with what he's doing. So anything that he gets, I think he deserves. There's no reason to be going 154 miles an hour. Like you're driving while you're drunk. You're drunk driving and you're going 154? I don't know.
And by the way, the NFL has a service for all NFL players where if you're drinking and you're out, they will send a car to pick your car up, no questions asked.
That makes it even more unacceptable.
It's a crazy thing. So
yeah,
we'll keep you guys up to date on it. If we get an update on it, we'll see what happens with Henry Ruggs. I don't believe they've released the name, at least publicly, about the victim. But we're thinking of her and her family, and it's very unfortunate.
Yeah. So moving next on one. To topic number two. All right, our next article, this kind of goes in line with something that you and I have been talking about, right? We've been talking a lot about kind of like finances. We were talking about Elon Musk. We were talking about Jeff Bezos. And then it's like our phones are listening. So this article popped up and I looked at the title and I was like, are you serious right now? Because it made me feel like my phone is listening to me. But the article title reads, top 1% in the U.S. now have more wealth than the entire middle class combined. And this is an article that everybody can look up. I want you guys to look up this article. I want you to read the entire article. I'm not going to touch on the whole article, but there's something in here that I thought was crazy, crazy. And this is what I want to get your take on. What I wanted to show you guys here was the top 1% is made up of 1.3 million households making more than about $500,000 a year. The 77.5 million middle-class families make between $27,000 and $141,000. Okay, so that's where I guess they define the middle class. This is where it gets interesting to me. The middle class, the middle 60% have seen declining shares in key financial areas like real estate and corporate equities being, you know, stock, stock options in companies, stuff like that. So what that must be meaning is that people aren't investing their money in stocks, which the people that are doing it, they're doing well, which is obviously the top percent. In 1991, the middle class owned 44.3% of real estate. They now own 38%. That same year, the middle 60% owned 21% of corporate equities. That has almost declined in half to 12%. And this is what really bothers me right here. The pandemic has only exacerbated these gaps, while middle and working class families have struggled over the past year and a half, kept afloat partially by Congress stimulus bills, billionaires continue to accumulate tremendous amounts of wealth. As of August, billionaires in the U.S. have gotten 62% richer during the pandemic, accumulating $1.8 trillion of wealth, while the middle class has been getting crucified. Businesses weren't allowed to be open during the pandemic, and you had billionaires becoming richer. My biggest problem with that is how and why were these billionaires able to thrive during this pandemic and double a $1.8 trillion increase in a month, in a year and a half? And the middle class, like in New Jersey, I don't know about you, like I see storefronts shut down all over the place. And these are like the working class, the middle class. This drives me insane. This article was like infuriating as I was reading it.
Yeah. Well, the rich definitely get richer, don't they? I mean, when the pandemic happened, as you said, the middle class, which is our business owners, all that stuff on the local level, they weren't unable to survive for the most part because they just couldn't cover their bills based on the lack of business they were getting or the lack of ability to sell product. Where these corporations, these multi-billionaires, they can survive something like this because they're diversified. They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And this is something more on a smaller scale. They were just doing it on a larger scale, I believe. When the pandemic happened, the market crashed. And I have a stockbroker that I work with, and we invested in some things like Royal Caribbean, hotels like MGM. And the reason we did is because all those stocks that were hospitality stocks plummeted. Mm-hmm. When the COVID hit, because they were completely out, they almost went bankrupt.
Yeah.
So my stockbroker said, anything that you can afford to lose, invest it in these equities, and you're going to make a ton of money. And based on what we were dealing with, I invested a decent amount of money, but it really wasn't that much in the context of what these millionaires and billionaires were being able to invest. So I don't mind sharing with you guys. I think I made like $12,000 to $16,000 from the amount that I put in to when I pulled it out. And I did not put that much money in there. So I can only imagine what the billionaires who probably put hundreds, if not millions of dollars in that same stock and essentially took a terrible situation and capitalized on it. Am I mad at them for that? Absolutely not. I'm not. But I do wonder, as they continue to monopolize everything we have, the gap between the top 1% and everyone else is going to continue to expand. And I'm not an economist. I don't know what that means. I'm assuming it's not good. Mm-hmm. I do know that these bigger businesses create jobs, but we have so many issues going on right now with the pay gaps and in certain areas. And, you know, I think I'd feel different if I was a billionaire, but I'm not. And so I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It's just, I don't think this ends up being a good thing, but maybe people in the comments or even maybe you might be able to shed light on that, because I don't know how this story ends.
I'll tell you why it like kind of bothers me to a certain extent. Seeing the numbers is what really bothered me, because during the pandemic, honestly, like most people, I was very blessed to have gotten the opportunity to go on Big Brother, come off with some money. But before that, I was extremely stressed out financially because I was working in multiple fields, and every field I was in was shut down. And I'm an independent contractor. So I'm not salaried. I'm not, I can't file for unemployment. I can't do any of that. And so when it hit, I was like, dude, I'm in serious, like, how long is this going to go on? Like, at first it was like, you know, we got to shut down for, you know, 2 weeks. Then it was a month and it was 2 months. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, when am I going to be able to start financially pulling money back in? And I'm not talking about like a stimulus check. That doesn't help. That doesn't pay my bills. The thing that bothers me is how a lot of these billionaires, you know, were when you see that they became 62% wealthier through the pandemic and earned $1.8 trillion. The only thing that I could think of is how like small business owners were shut down, but the big stores, like the Walmarts, the Targets, the ShopRites, all these big stores were allowed to have people inside of them. And so there's a little convenience store who could still do it because they probably, in the grand scheme of things, pull in less people to their storefronts on a daily basis than these large buildings. But these large buildings, lights were staying on and were staying open.
Oh yeah, Walmart had lines out the door.
They had lines out the door. You're putting more people into a location. That's where now as this information comes to light, it starts to bother me even more because like Jeff Bezos became exponentially wealthier through it because everybody was ordering online with Amazon. You know, the Walmart CEOs, the Target CEOs, the shop, all these grocery stores, like the Costco's, they were becoming extremely wealthier during this time. And they almost seem to, I don't know, like be thriving through it. And that's what bothers me. And the reason why it bothers me is because you have these politicians talking about we need to tax the wealthier, we need to tax the rich. You know exactly the same information that we know is that they are loopholing their taxes and the wealthiest are not paying their fair share of taxes because they're loopholing it through capital gains, whether it's different things that they've been able to loophole. That's what bothers me. It's like you're sitting here being like, oh, now we talked about it the other day. They're talking about the unrealized gain that is going to be taxed, which that's a way to get at the rich. But that's also going to be a way to get at people like you and me who like have our money in stocks. Yes, we don't have this crazy diversified portfolio, but I have my money in stocks. And now if my money grows, I'm going to be taxed on that when I don't even take it out. It just stays in there. I'm very eager to see kind of what comes of this because I think what maybe a hot take. I think the politicians are in bed with every single one of these companies.
Oh, I mean, dude, there's no brainer. But like, and again, I'm not expecting you to solve world hunger here, but like, what is the solution, right? Like, in one sense, we're both in agreement that like it sucks that they're gonna try to do this, you know, unrealized capital gains for the millionaires and trillionaires of the world. Is, you know, we were critical of it last week, but is that a part solution? Because as of right now, we talked about the hypothetical that eventually this unrealized capital gain tax could affect guys like you and I, but right. I don't know about you, but I'm not making $1 million a year. No. Not yet.
Oh, is that, they capped it at $1 million a year.
Yeah. You have to not only make a million, you have to make $1 million 3 consecutive years before this would affect you or be a trillionaire, even a trillionaire at one point. So my question is like, what is the answer? And is, you know, although we were a little critical of what it could become, is this a way to get at those people who are just like, absolutely destroying the economy in a lot of ways. They're making it very lopsided.
No, because what's happening is all these companies and the part in there that I didn't like also was that they were reliant, these business owners were reliant on the government stimulus checks. Those are coming from the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
That's government. Yeah, that's all of us. Yeah. That's all of us. So we're funding ourselves and the businesses when these other billionaires are not paying their fair share of taxes, which, you know, that's like this, I don't know, a campaign that is used on the trail a lot is that the rich don't pay their fair share of taxes. But they were just all getting way more wealthier, and the stimulus checks that were being handed out by the government came from our taxpayer dollars. And so, like, are we the only, we can't be the only ones just like kind of like raising an eyebrow to this. This is odd to me.
We're feeling it at the banks, you know? And listen, we don't have the answers. We're, like I said, we're not economists. We're not experts in this field.
Maybe
we're
just giving our opinion
because, we work like you and you guys out there.
Yeah. An economist. That's a really good point. And this is what I think. I love that Joe Rogan does. Like, we are not experts, but I'd love to fire some questions at an expert and then be like,
what is the solution here?
Okay, that's
like,
how
do we fix this?
You know, like, okay, whatever. You know, I guess I was wrong in that sense.
Way down below, guys, again, there's been some really fascinating conversations going on in the comments.
Oh, I love
it. Not only with us, but with each other. And use that comment section as almost like a Discord to communicate with each other, throw out ideas. We're a community. We're building every single week. Weigh down your opinions in the comment section. We read everything. So fire off your opinions. What do you think the solution is to all this? I love capitalism. I love people have the opportunity to go out there and realize their dreams and become millionaires and billionaires mm-hmm. by working hard and doing the right thing. But how does that affect the ecosystem as far as finances are concerned? Is there anything we can do to balance it out a little bit more effectively so that the millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires are not being penalized for being successful, but assisting in allowing us to become a more balanced economy? Way down below, we want to hear your thoughts. This is a topic that I think is never going to be ending. And it's only been exacerbated by COVID. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
I want to give a big shout out to the Prez, Dave Portnoy, because during this time when I guess a lot of these millionaires, because he's in that top percentage, when he was making money, he created the Barstool Fund and started keeping the lights on and the doors open and paying employees for a lot of these middle-class business owners that were getting crucified by the pandemic. So
yeah, he's done like 50 million or something like that. It was a ton of money. Incredible. Or maybe it might even be 500 million. I don't know. It was a lot of money.
You know, and I'm sure there were other people doing it, but he made sure it was known. And during that time, and obviously there was, you know, maybe there were companies that were really gaining a lot of money from the pandemic and putting it into good things, but I wasn't hearing of it. And so these are the articles that I see. So
absolutely.
I'd love people to let us know if I'm wrong. I would love to see what other people were doing, but
absolutely
brings us to our last topic. D.
Yes. Yes. This lighter note here. Okay. I don't know how he does it, but here we are.
Can't wait.
Talking about Pete Davidson. For anyone who doesn't know Pete Davidson, he's a comedian. He's currently on SNL. He was famously known for dating, and I believe he was engaged to Ariana Grande, but he's been connected to so many successful, beautiful women throughout the years. And frankly, and I'm not hating because I'm no supermodel, but he's not no Leo DiCaprio or Chris Evans or take your pick. He's none of those people. And he is just slaying the game. And now from the rafters, Kim Kardashian.
Nothing was confirmed,
but all we know is this. You put the pattern together. Kim Kardashian goes on SNL. And SNL, you got to go there. You got to rehearse. So she's out in New York for about a week. Pete Davidson lives in Staten Island. So he's obviously out there as well. He's on the show. They're together about a week. Kim Kardashian goes on SNL, does her thing. And then about a week ago, they're at an amusement park in California.
She killed SNL, by the way.
She did very well. I was surprised. I don't think she wrote her own jokes, but still, she killed it.
Delivery was good.
Delivery was there. Nice pauses, all that good stuff. So, you know, as you know, when you go on a roller coaster, there's sometimes those still shots that are taken as you're like screaming or whatever. And in this particular shot, I don't know if it was a lapse in judgment, if it was a publicity stunt, but they're holding hands as they're going down the roller coaster. Could that be just a friendly thing? Of course it could be. But I don't know. I looked like it was more than that to me. And I feel like maybe there was like a moment where they were holding hands below, you know, the roller coaster where people couldn't see it. And then they raised their hands up as they were going down. And that's how they caught it. But people are not slipping. However, they both basically come out. Their teams came out and said they're just friends. Mm-hmm. Now, to add fuel to the fire, which is where we are now, Kim Kardashian went out to dinner with Pete Davidson like two nights ago. It was like a secret dinner, whatever.
In Staten Island.
I got to ask you, is it a publicity stunt? Are they just friends? Or is this a new relationship blooming right before our eyes?
I'll tell you what. And I think the reason why Pete Davidson is able to talk to all these girls is...
Oh, I know why. I can't say it on the show.
Say it we on the show. Because I knew. Here's the thing.
The man's doing well for himself. We'll just put it that way.
Financially, Pete Davidson isn't doing that great. I don't know if you know
I'm talking about physically.
Oh, you're talking about...
Yeah, for anyone who can't see it, I'm talking the man must have been blessed. He must have been blessed, and props to you, Pete Davidson.
I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I hung out with Pete Davidson for like a while.
What? Wait, what?
So the movie that I was in, Set It Up.
Okay.
You know the movie on Netflix, the big Netflix movie, Set It Up. If you guys haven't seen it, go try to find me.
Netflix.
If you blink, you will miss me. So keep the eyes peeled. Anyways, My scene was with Pete Davidson. I was Pete. I was Duncan's hookup. His name, his character's name in the movie was Duncan. So I had a scene with him and Glenn Powell.
Okay.
I come out of the room, I kiss him on the cheek, and I leave, and he slaps my butt. I was like, ooh, Pete. Anyways, he had the most gentle hands. But we hung out because we're shooting a scene together. So when the scenes break, we hang out together in the one room. When we had a longer break, we had to get set up for lighting. I went and hung out in Glenn Powell's trailer, which Pete hung out in as well. He is so chill, so down to earth, so funny, and just like kind of he's just very authentic. And I will tell you what, being in and hanging out with him and Glenn Powell, who are their superstars.
Yeah, they're big names.
Little old
they're
me,
big names.
Little old me. Pete was just like kind of asking me, like talking, you know, like Pete would talk to me almost like what's up, dude? Like, not like, not like I was any lesser than him. When I would talk to Glenn and he would ask me questions, it was almost like, oh, what have you done? Or like, what are you doing? And it was almost like, bro, like, listen, I know I'm just a fucking, I have one line, but like, you chill, okay?
Yeah.
Don't talk down to me because I'll backhand you in this fucking trailer of yours.
Oh, that's cute.
But Pete was not that guy. He was so awesome. I was cracking up the entire time around him. He's so funny. He was so down to earth. Was so amazing. Like a fan ran up to him on the sidewalk as we were walking, and he just was so awesome with them too. It was, and the thing is, you could tell like Glenn when in that situation was like, oh man, I can't believe I didn't get recognized. And I was just like, holy shit, Pete Davidson is like big. He's also huge. He's just a cool dude. And so I think when he gets around these women, he just is who he is. And some of these women, these A-listers, they probably get like treated very differently, and they just want to be treated like a normal person. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I only hung around him for, you know, it was a few hours because the scene on these big sets take forever. He just was very chill, very down to earth. He is who he is.
So charismatic.
Not crazy charismatic, but he's funny, man. He's funny. He's subtly funny. He definitely like hits you with jokes, and he has this like, I don't know, the way he talks. He's just funny, man. He's just cool. He was super down to earth. He'll never know who I am, but that's the good thing is that like someone like me who he had no idea who I am, has no idea, like whatever, he treated me like it was like cool. It was like, oh, like come hang out in my trailer. And then Glenn was like, oh no, we'll hang out in my trailer. It's bigger. And then we sat in his fucking monster ass trailer. And it was like, all right, dude, whatever. But he was just a really cool guy. And I think that's what it is. But I also think that I think he came out with Ariana Grande. He has like depression like and stuff like
anxiety.
That.
Anxiety. Oh yeah. Anxiety. He says all the time.
But he was a really cool guy, man. And so that's what I think it is. He could be physically gifted, but I also think he's just like a really, I don't know. He just kind of seemed like straight up down to earth.
But so let me ask you, all that said, do you think this is just the paparazzi and like the outlets making a big deal out of nothing? Or do you think there's something here? Do you think they're dating? That'll be very
respectful.
I don't
know what they're dating, but I'll tell you what, Kim is probably very refreshed by his authenticity, because I'll tell you what, she is not authentic, and she probably hangs around with a ton of people that are not authentic, and they're filming their show constantly, which is inauthentic. And so it's probably a breath of fresh air to be around him. And do feelings come from that? Yes, they do. You're damn right they do. And look at Pete Davidson.
Killing it.
The guy.
I mean, killing it. I mean, he's dated some really attractive women. Mm-hmm. And who was the last girl? There was
It's in this article.
Yeah, there's been a few women he's been connected to. But I mean, it's just like his list is, I don't know how true they all are, but he's doing okay for himself for sure. You said there's a list of the other girls.
People has confirmed in August that the comedian has split from Phoebe. Not even going to attempt that. he was with Cassie David, Katie Beckinsale, and Kaya Gerber. Beckinsale. Kate Beckinsale is hot.
Yeah. 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 He's done all right for himself. So
yeah.
I don't know if there's something there, but Pete, keep doing it for all the guys down there that aren't supermodels, brother. We support you. Keep making us proud. Keep doing your thing. Show the world that having a good personality means something.
Yeah. And he does, man. He was really cool. I really liked him.
We salute you. Yeah, that's an interesting article. Little lighter note. Hey, listen, Kim, do your thing, girl. Listen, I love the fact that Kim's not out there. She's a very successful woman. She don't need the money, right? She's beautiful. She's a great businesswoman. She's made a ton of money. Say what you want about the Kardashians. They know how to brand. They know how to market. they're geniuses in that sense. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm glad to see her, you know, going for a guy because she don't need the money. So it doesn't, she doesn't care about fame. She doesn't care about money. She's basing it on, and she might think he's very attractive. I don't know. She might be all about it, but you know, hey, listen, he's doing his thing. I'm just happy for both of them. If they are in a relationship, I do think there's something going on there. To answer the question, I definitely think there's more. They're more than just friends. It might not be something super serious. It may just be a fling, but I definitely think there's something there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, bro. I think there is something there. Hey, this is a crazy time in the world. We have all experienced something in this last year and a half that has been absolutely wild. I think there's way more stuff in the near future. A lot of chaos. And if they can escape from this reality a little bit and have some fun together, kudos to them.
So be it.
Kudos to
them. So be it, man. Two millionaires in love. Kim Kardashian's almost a billionaire. Tough life they have, huh?
Oh, Lord. Did you see anything Kylie? Kylie is a billionaire.
She was a billionaire. She's not anymore. She sold like a portion of her company. You know, because they don't have $1 billion in cash, but their valuation. But I'm pretty sure I saw an article not too long ago that said she's no longer a billionaire because she sold a part of her company, and what she had left, the valuation of Kylie Cosmetics went down a little bit, but she's still a multi-billionaire.
Millionaire.
And she's doing okay. Yeah. I'm not worried about Kylie.
Yeah. Anyways, but that is that. That sums it up for our three articles, guys. Let us know down below what you guys think. First one was really intense. Second one was a little different. It was more financial. And last one was just pop culture. Just a little bit of pop culture. Having some fun.
Yeah. Weigh in the comments too. If you have certain topics, we try to keep them relevant to that week. But if you have something that you want to hear us talk about, sound off in the comments, you know, tag us on, you know, comment in one of our posts on the Winner's Circle handle. It's at Winner's Circle Cast, right? It's not correct. The Winner's Circle Cast, right? It's at Winner's Circle Cast, or you can message one of us as well. I don't usually see all my DMs, but the best place to get us is in the comments section because we look at all the comments. It's a smaller community, so there's not as many comments. So that's a benefit to you guys. We get to read everything. If there's a certain topic you'd like to hear us talk about that you want to hear our opinions on, by all means, ask us. Cody, any final thoughts, brother?
No. I was just looking at, because we had mentioned the Ahmaud Arbery trial at the beginning, and I guess jury selection, there was a little bit of issues with that. We're not going to get into it, but the case is moving forward now.
We're gonna get
the judge, and so we'll be touching
when
on
they
that
have a verdict. When they have a verdict, either way, we'll cover it.
Yep. So
yeah,
that's absolutely it, guys. Thank you so much for all joining us here. It's awesome. We love doing it. We appreciate you guys. Just make sure you turn on those bell notifications and subscribe to the channel, because anything that helps us keep this going, we really appreciate.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate you joining us here on the Winner's Circle. We will see you next week.